brought to you by the Bloom Women's Ministry at Church on the Rock in Lubbock, Texas. This is Bloom Talks.
Everyone, welcome to Bloom Talks. I'm your host, Cynthia Hernandez.
And I'm your other host, Paige Allen.
Oh, I love today.
I know. Such a good day.
I know. We have got such a special guest on for this episode. It is Erin Gray.
You guys, I feel like there's a lot of people listening and you actually kind of know Erin. Mm-hmm. And you already love her. Some of you have no idea who Erin is, but I'm telling you, when you're done listening, you are going to also love her. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. She was super nervous to come do this.
Which is wild.
Yeah. She was like a pro. She's so good. And she was just herself. And she was so honest.
The conversation is so good. And something that I didn't mention when she was here, but one of the things I love about Erin is she's just one of those like cheerleader of other people.
Yeah.
If you talk to her for more than 5 seconds, she has already built you up to a new level and you walk away feeling on top of the world. And today's conversation did exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are going to love it. So here's Erin.
Erin Gray. Oh, we have hunted you down.
And I've avoided you as much as I could.
You sure have, but you're here.
You are.
I know.
We are so excited you're here.
Yes. Thank y'all for having me.
Yes. Thank you for saying yes.
Erin and I actually, I feel like we kind of go way back.
We do.
I was a little annoying junior high student, and Erin and I were in the same youth group.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
City View.
Yes. Our youth pastor was Casey Brewer, who you know, and Erin was so beautiful, and she was cool. She was the cool one.
She's still cool, don't you think?
Oh, totally. But she was kind to me, and she was always so sweet, and that's my memory of you during that time.
Well, I remember you, and I always thought you were just so sweet and just pleasant, and you still
are. Oh, my word.
It hasn't changed. That. I know. But I was the rebellious high school girl.
Cool girl, like I said.
I don't know about cool, but pushing the limits, for sure.
But you were also kind.
Well.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, we're going to just start. First of all, I want you to just tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your family. Yeah. What you like to do, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I have 3 kids and it's my favorite job. I really believe I was just made to be a mom to those 3. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. I love chasing them around. I have Caden, who is a senior this year.
Oh my goodness.
And it is all the emotions and all the things. I don't want to miss anything, so I just go to every little event. And so there's Caden, and then Kellen, my little mini-me. She looks just like me. and she is 15, and she thinks she's 20. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, slow it down. And then Case, my sweet Case, he is 10. So they keep me pretty busy. And we live out in the country with all this lovely wind and lots of horses, lots of dogs, 5 dogs.
Oh, my word.
Lots of animals. And I work here at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the Adopt Lubbock ministry. I love that. I love getting to know all those families. And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing right
now. You're married to Sean.
I am married to Sean. Oh, yes. I no, love him, too.
Yes, I know you do love him. Well, I thought about him when you said all the horses.
So, yes.
Because he's the horse guy more than you. Or do you enjoy the horses?
I enjoy looking at the horses. But the horses Sean has, he's a team roper. Mm-hmm. And so they have a job. And they're not like the nice, you get on them and ride around horses. They're like, we have a job and we're going to go. And I don't want to go. I want to just sit and just calmly be around them. And so all three, actually, well, everybody but me and Kellen rides. Caden, my oldest, he rodeos, Case rodeos, and Sean rodeos. They all have their own horses, and Sean just looks for more excuses to buy another one. I think we have like 10.
Right oh, now. My word.
I know. There's so many. But they love it, and so I love it.
Yeah.
So we go and watch rodeos on the weekends, and it's fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I need to go. I need to come watch Sean rope sometime.
We need to go with Aaron. I feel like safe in that environment with
That's
you.
That's the thing. It's a whole subculture that I don't quite know how to navigate. So
I don't either. And I've been married 16 years. Okay. And I'm like, oh my goodness. No, it's, I love it though. I love the people, and I've loved all of Sean's friends and their wives. It's a good one. Mm. It's a good group of people, and they just want to do anything for each other. Like, it's like a family.
Yeah.
They're definitely different than what I was raised, because I wasn't raised around any of that, but they're a really good group of people.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Mm.
I just love horses too. Just seeing them out there. I enjoy having that.
Yeah.
So
love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys went to youth group together. Mm-hmm. You grew up in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said you were the rebellious teenager.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Yes. And you know, it wasn't that I was that bad. It was mm-hmm. that I was the third child, the third girl in my family growing up, and they were perfect. They were just, they followed every rule, and they did. And me, I just really wanted to have some fun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this worth it? Like, this might be fun enough to just get in trouble when I get home or whatever. It wasn't that I was all that bad. It was just that I really liked to push the boundaries a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And maybe those boundaries were more prevalent because of the older sisters. You were more aware of them, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just beat to the rhythm of my own drum, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I still feel like you make it sound so much. My image of you is just so different.
Yeah.
So help me fill in the dots then.
Well, like, I am probably... Sean tells me, my husband tells me, I am a lot harder on myself
mm-hmm.
than it really was. Like, we'll talk about it, and I'll be like, oh, man, I was rebellious. And me and him went to school together at Cooper, and he's like, you really weren't that bad. Why do you think you're that bad? And I think it was just me being mm-hmm. hard on myself and mm-hmm. me comparing myself, just like we all do, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't do this right, and I didn't do this right, and... I was probably not even that bad. Just, mm-hmm. I was just harder on myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than anybody else. So.
I think a lot of women tend to be really hard on themselves. Maybe men too, you know? But I know I'm hard on myself a lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially, I think if I feel like I've let people down or even let myself down mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I think too, sometimes we just create these images of what our lives are going to look like.
Yes.
And then when we can't make it happen or we maybe make a wrong decision
mm-hmm.
and it looks a certain, doesn't look like what we thought.
Yeah.
We get really hard on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I still struggle with that.
Yeah.
Today. That's what God works on me all the time is I'm hard on myself and
mm-hmm.
I don't give myself grace, like grace that I would give someone else. I don't give to myself. So
yeah,
he's working on me.
You were telling me before we started that one thing that you wanted us to talk about that God has done in your life is overcoming shame, which kind of goes hand in hand with this, right?
Yeah.
Like being hard on ourselves. And I think there's one thing about like us personally being hard on ourselves. And then when the enemy steps in and like even, So tell us about that. Tell us about your journey with overcoming shame.
Well, man, I was enslaved to shame for, far back as I can remember. And I still walk through it and I still deal with it. But I guess it started, like I said, I've just never felt like I was good enough. I wasn't doing good enough. I wasn't measuring up. And it was these things I was putting on myself. It wasn't even anything my family was putting on me. I just was like, well, I'm not good enough. So why am I going to even try? So it's just this shame that I guess I always felt when I was in high school. And after high school, and let me say this, I was raised in a really strict home, really strict parents, really strict, but good parents, just strict.
Mm-hmm.
And We were Baptist most of my life until we came to church at City View. Yeah.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah, it was the opposite. We just went the other way. And my grandpa was a Southern Baptist preacher, and we, you know, we were just a good old Baptist family. Well, with that comes sometimes feeling like, oh man, I'm not good enough. I'm not what I'm supposed to be. And so I guess the thing that I probably felt the most, or Satan was just attacking me, that I had the most shame is when I was 20, I was dating my husband and I got pregnant before we were married. And that's a big no-no, you know. I just felt like I'd let everyone down, and my parents and my grandparents. And there was just so much immediately. The second I took that pregnancy test, I remember thinking, I've really done it now. I went too far. I did this. And I mean, shame just covered me, and I just took it in. But God is so good. I'm going to cry. Because he took that situation that I thought, oh my goodness, I've just ruined everything. And he made it into the most beautiful story. And he gave me the most beautiful family. And oh, my daughter, she just lights up any room she walks in. I'm so thankful for her. And even the order that it happened, I mean, I wouldn't change anything, because Kellen is the best gift. And she's a gift that brought our family together. She, I mean, Sean and I loved each other, but I mean, she really just put everything. When I got pregnant with her, I stopped living for myself, and the selfishness that me and Sean just living a life of just being kind of crazy college kids. And I started living for her and for someone other than myself. And she just really, God just took that situation and he made it, he did what he does, and he made it into a beautiful, amazing life. And I sometimes still don't feel worthy of it, but I'm really thankful that I have it, you know?
Yeah.
So it took me a while after that. Like, I still wouldn't want to give people like my anniversary date, Kellen's birthday. I would always like round up, you know? It took me a while to finally be like, you know, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I got out of that shame, and I just look at it like this beautiful thing that God orchestrated and put together in this beautiful life. And I don't have shame around that situation anymore.
How do you think, when you look back, were there any turning moments with the shame? Or I'm just thinking about women listening, because there's probably women listening that they are bound up in shame, especially about a specific situation.
I honestly got tired of it, and I don't even really remember, but it was almost like God was like, enough, this is enough. Like, there's bigger things for you to do. Quit turning your thoughts towards yourself and, oh, look, you know, poor, pitiful me. And, like, it's time for you to get out and do some other stuff and do some work. And I turned my mindset away from, oh, look what I've done. And I can't do anything with my life because I've failed in these areas. And God was like, get your mindset off yourself. Like, honestly, like, I was being selfish, thinking about myself. Even though I wasn't thinking about myself in, like, positive ways, I was still consumed with myself. And God was like, come on, we got some work to do. Quit just being consumed with this. And so, honestly, I journal, and I had a prayer journal, and I could probably look back to this specific day. I probably was crying all morning or something. I don't know. But I just remember being like, okay, this is it. Enough is enough. And then I will come back to this date and be like, no, Satan, on this day, I walked away from it. On this day, I left it and I dropped it. And I did that a couple of times. The shame would come back, not just about that, but just other shame would come back and would come on me. And I would just, I'd be like, no, on this day, I released that. God took it. He restored everything. And I'm not picking that shame back up. So
Erin, that's really powerful. I'm not picking it back up. Like
that's
huge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so often, even like in my own life, we make these like groundbreaking decisions. We like draw the line in the sand. Yeah. And then a month later, it's like you're right back. Yeah. And I think when that happens, the lie, at least that I've told myself, is like, this is my lifelong burden to bear. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just the thing that's always going to be with me and I'll always have to deal with it, which maybe to a certain extent, but no, yeah. Like God snapped his finger at you, which I like because that's what he does to me too sometimes. Yeah. But it's like, no, something changed that day whenever I released it. He said, you released it and he took it away. Yeah. And you were restored.
Yeah.
So that's so great. You just have to remind yourself mm-hmm. of that moment. And I think there's real freedom in that. What you said was huge.
Mm-hmm. Because that was it. Like you say, freedom. That was one thing. I just didn't know freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I was always bound up just in my mind. My worst enemy is me. Like my worst critic is me. Mm-hmm. And I beat myself up and beat myself up. And I have to walk through. It's not like it was just, you know, all gone. Some days I go back and I'm like, no, I'm going to quit being negative about myself. I'm going to get out of my mind. And so I do walk through it still. But I just keep trying to release it to him. Every time it comes up, I'm like, all right, God, take it. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He's so good. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Takes it from me. So good.
Yeah.
It is though. It's like an act of our will though. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Like to be like, nope, no, because that's the thing with shame or even it's like an invitation to allow your mind to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, I'm at a crossroads and I have a choice right now. Am I going to say you're right? Da, 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 and head off in the right direction or in the wrong direction. Or am I going to just say, no, we're not even going to go there. I'm going to remind myself of the beautiful things and the wonderful things. And so that's a really practical tool, I think, to even tell women that are listening, that are struggling. Even I love, you knew the date.
Yeah. It's written down. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I have it written down.
Yeah.
And I go and I tell Satan, nope, on this day.
Right.
I did this.
Yeah.
So
even being specific, like on this day, or I remember I was sitting in this place in mm-hmm. this moment and it happened. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
No more. Yeah. That's so good. Yes.
And you say, like, you have to stop your mind from going down that. God gave me this vision one time, and it's funny because it has to do with roping.
Uh-huh.
And it's so when a roper is roping, the steer goes out of the chute, and the roper goes, and you try to rope it as fast as you can. You know, and that's the point of team mm-hmm. roping. And a vision that God gave me is, like, as soon as that thought comes out, you stop it. You rope it, you stop it. And you stop that thought. Don't go down that same path over and over. And just stop it right when it comes out. So that's what I try to rope those thoughts.
Are a rodeo girl.
I think I've just watched so many that it's just the way my mind works.
But it's a good picture, though, because I do think sometimes we're like, it's like we're more like walking a dog on a leash. Like we just like give it a lot of like, I'll just entertain it for a little while.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't know what we think it does. I think... Well, because it's selfish.
Yes.
Even though it's negative, it still like feeds our flesh like in a weird, you know, distorted way, you know? And so I think that's a really, that your picture of like, no, like as soon as it goes out, like we're going to,
get
it. Rope it. I'm going to lasso it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm.
Yes. That's good.
Erin.
Thanks.
These are like really good truths.
Oh, they are. They are. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, Miss Erin, you have a son that's about to graduate high school.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to me for a minute about that transition. And to mamas out there that are, how are you handling that?
I'm not handling it real well.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'm one to give advice.
Uh-huh. You're just trying to soak it all in.
Yes, I'm trying to soak it all in. One of the things that wakes me up at night, and I'm sure, lots of moms are this way, is my kids. I want them to, I just want the best for them. And I am like, did I do enough? Did I help enough? Did I pray enough? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. So it's just all these things when he's about to go out in the world. And he's, you know, he's a great kid though. Mm-hmm. And he's about to go out in the world and he's, well, you know, and I just hope that Sean and I just did the best that we could. And mm-hmm. it's just a fear that I have. Mm-hmm. And I also, going back to me, I sometimes parent from a place of fear. Mm-hmm. And I, like, what if they go and what if they're like us? And so I just try to control a little bit and I have to let go of that. I can't parent. That's another thing mm-hmm. God's working on me right now is don't parent from a place of fear that they're going to be, they're not, you, they're not walking down the same thing. Like, don't parent from that place. Parent of a place of, I got this. God has this. Mm-hmm. That he's taking care of them. He wants more for them than I could ever want for them. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to give them to him. And so that's what I'm trying to do with Caden. I'm trying to step back some and not be so,
yeah,
just trying to control it and mm-hmm. hopes that he mm-hmm. won't go down certain paths or I'm just giving him over to God. And but the walk every day senior thing, man, they make it, they're going to make you work for this last year. Like every event is like, we have yeah. a senior night for this. We have a senior night for this. But, and I cry at all of them and he's sticking around here. He's going yeah. to tech. And
okay.
So it'll be good.
Good. Yeah. Good. I feel like our lives, regardless of what season we're in, whether it's little babies or seniors mm-hmm. or empty nesters, it's this constant thing of, do I really trust you, God?
Yeah.
And it's real hard sometimes to trust him with our kids.
Yeah.
But we can trust him. Yeah, mm-hmm. we can. Just reminding ourselves of that. So
for sure.
Erin, this was so good.
Aww.
Thank you for sharing with us.
That wasn't that hard.
I told you. It's just all? Coffee with yeah. Paige and Cynthia.
Yeah. Anything, okay. anything else you want to say to the ladies listening?
Oh, well, I would say if anyone's dealing with what I dealt with, don't stay in it so long. Don't stay in it as yeah. long as I stayed in it. Just, you don't have to. It's, I think it's a tactic of the enemy to keep us there. Because there's some other stuff that we need to be doing mm-hmm. and he's trying to distract us. And, so put it down and you'll have to put it down over and over because you'll pick it back up, but just put it down. It's probably something that you're putting on yourself. No one else is putting on you. No one else is thinking about that because they're not even thinking about you. They're thinking about their stuff. Mm-hmm. And, so just put it down and put down that shame and don't live in that. Don't stay in it as long as I did. Enjoy that beautiful life that God mm-hmm. has given you. And
yeah,
I think that's
good. Good. Today can be their day.
Today mm-hmm. could be their day. Mm-hmm. Right now, mm-hmm. listening to this podcast, mm-hmm.
yeah,
today could be their day and they could go back and say, no, I did that last week. And then again, mm-hmm. I did that last month. Mm-hmm. I put that mm-hmm. down. So today could be their mm-hmm. day.
Yes.
To let go of all that. So, yeah.
That's good. Those are some good words to end with. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Erin.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Love you so much.
Love you, too. Thank you.
You guys, I'm still thinking of her illustration with the team roping. I really loved that. And that's kind of what I want to challenge us with today. What's a thought you need to take captive? What's that thought that it just has a way of, like, jumping out? And if you're not careful, you start running after it. Today is a great day. You might even literally write down the day of like, nope, no more of that. I'm going to surrender it to Jesus. So thank you, Erin, for sharing your story and even that little nugget with us. That was really powerful. Well, thanks so much, you guys, for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, hey, go online and give us 5 stars or go tell a friend about it. Y'all have an amazing week. We'll see you back next time on Bloom Talks.
Thanks for listening to Bloom Talks. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and share to show your support. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at COTRBloom, or for more info about Church on the Rock, check out cotrpeople.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.